There are people in the media, in our government, and even in our churches that will not talk openly about Islam and its effect on our society. Straight ahead, Dr. Erwin Lutzer from Moody Church in Chicago brings us the inconvenient truth about Islam.
What I want the church to do is to wake up and realize that this is a challenge for us right here, just as close as a hospital here in Chicago that has taken down crucifixes because a Muslim complained. In America today, we have in our politicians and our media the stance of submission to Islam. Once again, I say to the people of God who are listening today, wake up.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan Markell is a veteran broadcaster and best-selling author, and for many years, she has been instrumental in evaluating today's current events with biblical truth. Today, Jan interviews Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor of Historic Moody Church in Chicago. Dr. Lutzer has just released a new book about Islam called The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, an informed response to Islam's war with Christianity. Later in the program, Jan talks with White House correspondent Bill Koenig in our special report this week. Now, here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. So glad you can join me today as you run about your busy life. And I'm going to have a very special guest on for the next two segments. And in his new book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, Dr. Erwin Lutzer says this book serves as an open letter to Christians in the West. I write with a passion that we would wake up to the fact that our future might be in peril. Islamic influence is spreading rapidly in North America, much as it already has in the United Kingdom and other parts of Europe. And it has drastically altered the political, cultural, legal, and religious landscape in those places. I write out of great concern for what may lie ahead. Joining me in the interview for this next couple of segments is my very often co-host, Eric Barger. Eric, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Jan. Glad to be here.
And Dr. Erwin Lutzer, welcome back to the program.
I'm glad to be with you today, Jan.
Thank you so
and
much.
Eric.
Incredible book you have here, but I do have a question. I've got to get right up front with my question here because I am seeing, sensing, and hearing, and as I talk to people about the topic of Islam, I'm getting a little bit of glazed eyes. I'm sensing that there might be some Islam fatigue. We've heard about this now 12, 13 years. Why have you gone and just focused like a laser beam on Islam? Because I sense you are sensing this too.
Oh, absolutely. And the reason I did is, you know, there are many good books on Islam that talk about what the Quran teaches and so forth. This one is different. It grew out of my personal experience, Jan, when I was in Turkey, which is biblical Asia Minor, and visited the seven cities of the Church of Revelation and discovered that there were no churches there, no visible churches. And I had a guide in Istanbul who told me privately that Islam's ability to replace the church, I would say crush the church, is proof of its superiority as a religion. So if you want to know whether or not Islam is the true religion, just look at all of the thousands, and I do say thousands of churches throughout the Middle East that have been turned into mosques. This is proof that it can stamp out Christianity and is superior. This troubled me a great deal, and I began to ask myself, this does not make Jesus look good. So I began to study and ask the Lord for wisdom as to what these non-existent churches, most of which are mosques today, have to say to the American church. And I would say that possibly we do have Islam fatigue, as you put it. I would like to think that the difference is that when I wrote this book, you know, one of the concluding chapters is what the church should be doing now. What I've tried to do is to help the church prepare for the storm that is coming. And the storm is coming. We can have fatigue if we want to, and we can ignore it, as many people have, but eventually we won't be able to. And so this is really my heart. I regard it as my most important book. You know, I'm getting to be up there in my age, and I just have such a heart for this. I believe it so deeply.
Well, I talked to you some months ago, and I hadn't planned on saying this, and you don't need to give me any details, but when I talked to you on the phone several months ago, and you had said you had come from Washington, you had gotten some terribly troubling information. It was on Islam, so apparently you had been in our nation's capital and been informed about something that deeply troubled you. I could hear hear it in your voice.
Well, yes, you know, and actually, I'm not the one who is on the inside, but if you talk to a person like James Woolsey, whom I happened to meet in a different context, who at one time was head of the CIA, he's co-authored a book with other authors, Jihad, A Threat to America, where he talks about the intrusion of the Muslim Brotherhood into our national security. And our administration doesn't seem to be concerned about it. So this comes from the highest levels of government, people who are in the inside. And maybe I was referring to the fact that I spoke to a group of people about this a year or two ago, and a couple came up to me and said, you know, our son is high up in clearance in Washington. As a matter of fact, he is very high up. And he said, Mom and Dad, if people knew what was happening in terms of our compromises in security with the Brotherhood, he said Christians would be on their faces crying up to God. And then he added, and I'm only quoting him, our president doesn't seem to care. And so if we think, for example, that this is just an external threat, one of the points that I make is that the Brotherhood right now is not using terrorism, because terrorism can be counterproductive. They would rather use what they have written about. You know, in 2004, the FBI found their plans to overtake America, which I summarize in my book. But the point is that they would rather use civilizational jihad, stealth jihad, and infiltrate the banking system, the security systems, our schools. The compromises in terms of our textbooks are absolutely stunning. I wonder if most Christian parents realize that. So that's their method for now. Their goal is still the same, and that is worldwide conquest.
Yep. Based on what you've just said, I want to play a quick soundbite, and then I'd like feedback from both you and Eric. And what I'm going to play here is Eric Stackelback, General Jerry Boykin, and Frank Gaffney. Happens to be on a Glenn Beck program, but that's not the point. The point is what they're going to say, and these three gentlemen, Stackelback, Boykin, and Gaffney, certainly are prominent when it comes to security, and how downright terrified these gentlemen are about the very things you've just cited. As a matter of fact, these gentlemen are going to point to Turkey, how crucial this country has been. As a matter of fact, a little bit obscure in years gone by, but now because of Erdogan coming more and more into play. Let's just play this. I think it's a minute and a half.
What this Arab Spring, I think, is also resulting in is a huge power struggle that ultimately is going to bring about change in Turkey. Because Turkey wants very much to be the center of the caliphate as it is being established, and as does Iran. And we are going to see a substantially different Turkey, I think, a year from now than we see today.
Can I make a quick point about Turkey? Recep Erdogan, the Turkish prime minister, viciously anti-Israel. What a NATO ally, as we speak. Viciously anti-Israel guy. Other than David Cameron, the British prime minister, President Obama talks to Erdogan more than any other world leader.
Good God.
That is his guy, and Erdogan is basically advising our president on the Arab Spring and telling him what a good thing it is and that Islamist movements are innocuous and harmless. He's our go-to guy on Middle East policy, a raving Islamist who hates Israel. That's the president's pal.
He is the guy who said that that Turkey will be head of a caliphate, isn't he? Hasn't he in the past, not recently, but I think in the past
the Muslim Brotherhood, when Erdogan went into Egypt about 3 months ago, he was welcomed by the Muslim Brotherhood there as the new leader of the Islamic world and therefore the head of the caliphate. The Muslim Brotherhood recognized him as such.
In 1998, Glenn, he was actually locked up in Turkey. Locked up because he made a speech saying, mosques are our barracks, minarets are our bayonets. And now he's the president's phone pal.
That's frightening. And you're absolutely right.
You're going to make it worse.
The strategic implications of having a NATO ally that is actually a leader of this Islamist enterprise is really troubling.
Your response to that, Dr. Lutzer, and then Eric Barger?
Well, first of all, let me say the reason that Turkey would like to be the center is that it was there in Istanbul that was really the center of what was called the Ottoman Empire. So if you're talking about a caliphate, that would be the place where one would be raised up. what they said about Turkey, I think, is true. It's very, very troubling. And, of course, it's very troubling to think that our president actually receives information and guidance from Turkey. But the long-term effects here in America, this isn't just simply a problem for Turkey or a problem for Europe. What I want the church to do is to wake up and realize that this is a challenge for us right here, just as close as a hospital here in Chicago that has taken down crucifixes because a Muslim complained. In America today, we have in our politicians and our media the stance of submission to Islam. Our politicians will only speak positively. They will not speak in any balanced way about Islam. And if you have the nerve to speak about Islam, the mainstream media will shame you. And so that's the condition in which we find ourselves. And once again, I say to the people of God who are listening today, wake up.
Eric, your thoughts?
Terrific information that we need to hear. It's not fun to hear it, but we've got to hear this. I'm reminded of a program we did 3 months ago, Jan, where we talked about the CIA and Homeland Security and military training manuals, and how because Islamists have complained that there was anti-Islam speech being given out in these different training manuals and by the trainers. The trainers have been expunged, the manuals have been expunged, and it happened so quickly. They put a letter of demand out. In fact, I have a copy of the letter that was sent to John Brennan, who is now being vetted for CIA chief. And within just 2 months, all those training manuals were changed. The people who are supposed to be keeping us safe are now being told to ignore Islam. It is a very scary thing. And the American people are the answer here, because it's obvious that those in the government today have already decided to bow down to Islam.
Well, we have five very brave members of Congress. They spoke out on the Muslim Brotherhood. Again, they were put down. They were put down by people even in their own party. So very few want to take these issues very seriously, the threat that it is to America. And am I right, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, that when it comes to Islam, there's a lot of see no evil and speak no evil?
Oh, exactly. And the reason is because of fear. And also, of course, political correctness, which has kind of paralyzed us as a nation. And so in the midst of this, we as Christians have the privilege of living. And I'm sure that in a few moments, we'll also be talking about the opportunity for the church, because we can't lose sight of the fact that we've been born for this moment, for this hour, to share and to live out the good news of the gospel no matter what happens, and to join brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted today in the name of Christ. The question is whether or not we would have the courage to stand for the gospel like they are.
Well, you quote people in the know, and I'm so glad that you have included folks such as Steve Emerson. You've got Claire Lopez, Andrew McCarthy, and others, and all of these people have been sounding an alarm for a long time, and more often than not, again, ignored or silenced because they're not particularly politically correct. And Eric, you raised the name of somebody that was in the last chapter.
Dr. Lutzer talks about Miroslav Volf, and he's written a book that really tries to connect Islam and Christianity together. And Dr. Lutzer took exception to it, which I appreciated an awful lot. I want to bring this up early in the conversation, too. This is not a hate campaign against Muslims. The rank and file Muslim is not the problem. It is the radicals. And let's never forget that Jesus is saving Muslims and wants to save them and deliver them out of it. That is the key here. But if America opens its arms up blindly and doesn't realize what's happening, which is exactly what's going on right now, maybe some do and maybe a lot don't know because our media is so complicit to be silent about this or to bemean anyone who speaks out against it. If America doesn't realize what's going on, the last hope, literally the last hope for an evangelistic thrust in the Muslim world will be gone. That's my opinion, but that's exactly what I see going on.
Folks, if you join me late, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio, and I have on the line from Chicago, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, talking about his newest book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, An Informed Response to Islam War with Christianity. You can find this at any Christian bookstore. You can learn more at my website, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to the products, and that's olivetreeviews.org. You can email moodychurch.org as well. Eric, again, the person that you folks are referring to, that is a name that is not familiar to me. How come?
He's the head of the Yale Divinity School, or has been. I'm not sure if he still is at this very moment, but he's very popular in that crowd. crowd, and he was instrumental in helping to put forth the Common Word document, or the document that answered the Common Word document
okay.
that the Muslim clerics put out back in 2007. We've talked about this
yes.
on the air quite a bit. I've written about it on our website and in our newsletters, and you can't say enough about this to explain that we have Christians helping this thing along that seem to think that Allah and Jehovah are the same God, which we don't need to get into that today. That's another topic, but these are different deities, and there's one that's true and one that's not.
Well, Erwin Lutzer, where is the church in all of this? I mean, your average 21st century church here in America. Where are they with this?
Well, I'll tell you where they are. They fear that if they begin to speak about Islam, two things will happen. Number one, there'll be a lot of opposition because there'll be criticism that you're discriminatory, etc., etc., you're a fear-monger. The other argument that I've heard among our pastors is this, that if we mention Islam, it will turn off people who are witnessing to Muslims because, after all, how do you win people to Christ whom you are criticizing? And my answer to that is, whenever I speak about Islam, I always go out of my way to say that I hope that Muslims are listening, and I want them to regard me as their friend so that they understand that the good news of the gospel is for them. And Eric is right. We're really talking about the radicals. Unfortunately, however, the moderates remain quiet because they're not the ones that set the agenda, and many of them live in such fear of apostasy. But it is wrong for us to paint all of them with the same brush. Many of them have been westernized. Many of them dislike Sharia, even though it lies at the heart of Islam. And so what we need to do is to be able to speak about Islam, but at the same time, make sure that we are not misunderstood, that we are painting all with the same brush. Therefore, it is necessary for us to train our congregations, as I deeply believe, about these issues that are so prevalent in our society.
Well, Andrew McCarthy, he's very blunt about this. He just says there are no moderates. Where do you stand on that?
Well, yeah, that's true in this sense, that we cannot depend upon the moderates to help us. But there are Muslims who are westernized. And I need to say it, I guess I'll just say it bluntly, that means that they are not very good Muslims.
Yes.
But nonetheless, because they have been westernized, we need to understand that. In Ontario, Canada, 2004, the premier said that Sharia law should be practiced in Muslim enclaves. Under pressure, he conceded that they should be able to do that. There's a tremendous amount of opposition by those who were more liberal, along with Muslim women, who said, "Mr. Premier, Sharia law is nothing more than legalized violence against women." Mm-hmm. And those Muslim women, God bless them, along with some others, put enough pressure on the premier that he relented. So my point is, when we come across Muslims who have that kind of courage to lay their life on the line, because that's what you basically do if you're a Muslim and go against the doctrines of Islam, we need to encourage them. So there are those, unfortunately, many of them have to live in secure and undisclosed locations, but they are there.
I want to continue our discussion on the Muslim Brotherhood. I need to take a short time out. But, Dr. Lutzer, I also want to ask you about the appeasement issue, because that's what's on overdrive right now as we speak. And it's extremely destructive, and it never works. However, sometimes you can't get through the liberal mind that that's the case. But you write about it. And again, this is a new book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. Another thing I want to ask you about, Erwin, would be the Arab Spring, because right now, as we speak, the primary victims of the Arab Spring are Middle East Christians. Now, whether or not they're a Christian like First Baptist Church down the street, perhaps not, but they're carrying the cross nonetheless, and they're dying for it. And I want to ask you about that as well. And folks, remember, I do post current headlines every morning, olivetreeviews.org. You can now sign up for an RSS feed for those headlines. And again, this program is posted to my website right after you hear it on air, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio. Good way to stay in touch with us is through either our print or e-newsletter. Check the website or call my office anytime, Monday through Friday. I'm coming right back. Eric Barger is in studio with me as well, serving as co-host today. And we're going to continue our discussion in just a couple of minutes. And you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, and I'm Jan Markell.
you are interested in ordering the book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, check out olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And go to products. Jan Markell and Dr. Lutzer will be back in a moment with more of their conversation.
This is Eric Barger, the co-host of Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. I'm so happy to be a part of the media team developing the programs each week as we consistently deliver truth about current issues that you won't hear anywhere in the other media, all focused on helping you understand the times. Please remember to pray for Jan and our team as we research the topics and bring you the most compelling guests. Also, please remember us in your giving. We are now on 650 radio stations each weekend, as well as on the internet worldwide, and we need your prayerful financial partnership to help us maintain this kind of outreach. You can order products or give a donation by phone at 763-559-4444 or on the web at olivetreeviews.org. If you prefer, our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. On behalf of Jan Markell and the rest of our media team, thanks for joining us today for Understanding the Times Radio.
In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel said there would come a generation that would run to and fro. We think that's today's generation, so we want to come alongside of you as you run, so you don't have to skip Understanding the Times Radio. We have mobile apps for your Android, iPhone, and iPad. You can always listen online on your computer. Go to olivetreeviews.org and then to radio for instructions. If that sounds like too much, become a CD subscriber for $15 a month and get a CD of every broadcast. And if you hear a program that's a favorite, just call us and we'll make a special order of that program for you. When you communicate with us, be sure to tell us how you listen or to which station you listen. We're new to some neighborhoods and we want to get acquainted. Call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
For example, a Mark Harding in Canada, a pastor who, because he was opposed to Islam and gave out literature to that effect and insisted that if the high school give out Qurans, they should at least also give out Bibles, etc. And he was tried under Canada's hate speech law and given 340 hours in a Muslim community and then indoctrinated by an imam. It was either that or go to prison, all because of Canada's hate speech law.
Author and pastor Dr. Erwin Lutzer is Jan's guest this hour, and they have been talking about the threat of Islam in our Western countries. His new book entitled The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, An Informed Response to Islam's War with Christianity, can be found at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Here's Jan.
Welcome back. Jan Markell here. I have on the line Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Also in studio with me is co-host Eric Barger. We're going to have a little bit more discussion yet with Dr. Lutzer on his newest book. We'll give contact info a little bit later. Dr. Lutzer, you write, again, going back here to the Muslim Brotherhood for just another minute or two, because this is their sort of their statement of faith, if I can use such a strange term. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. Dying in the name of Allah is our highest hope. And yet we do have people in the highest offices of our land, State Department, White House, and other places, who clearly have some very serious ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. What do you recommend that the average American, who do we speak to try to get through to people that this is a highly dangerous thing?
Well, you know, we might not be able to get through to our politicians because they are heavily compromised. And if you know anything about politicians, once they've made an investment in terms of their friendships, and even if they are deceived, they love their deceptions.
Yes.
It's hard to dislodge them. And that's why I think that our responsibility is to speak to the church, to bring the warnings that are necessary, to inform them about the Brotherhood, to let them know what is happening, but then begin to ask the other question, how do we prepare for what is taking place. For example, Mark Harding in Canada, a pastor, I delineate this in my book, who, because he was opposed to Islam and gave out literature to that effect and insisted that if the high school give out Qurans, they should at least also give out Bibles, etc. And he was tried under Canada's hate speech law and given 340 hours in a Muslim community and then indoctrinated by an imam. It was either that or go to prison, with 3,000 letters and phone calls sending him to hell, all because of Canada's hate speech law. So if there's something that we can do to stand against hate speech, that is so critical, because the Organization for Islamic Cooperation has wanted for years for the United Nations to have a universal blasphemy law so that all criticism of Islam would be a crime. Now, you and I know that there are Christians dying today in Muslim countries because they're insulting the Prophet. And they insult the Prophet by being Christians, believing in the Trinity, and that is an insult to Islam. So what we have to do is to inform people, but then we shouldn't just scare them. My view is that we should prepare them. I think that we should be reading biographies of the martyrs, of those who are willing to stand for Christ, the Wilberforces and others, against great opposition. We have to read the Word of God and find out all those who are willing to stand against heresy, the early church being willing to die in the book of Acts. And so what we need to do is to get rid of this idea that things are always going to be nice here, because if we go the direction we're going, they aren't. But at the same time, to face it with a sense of confidence that the gospel works, that eternity reverses the decisions of time, and help our communities, our Christian communities, to be able to do that. One further word, and I know I'm giving a long answer, okay. But as far as Washington is concerned, I have no doubt that God has turned his back and has just given us as a nation a spirit of blindness, mm-hmm. because nothing else can account for the kind of thing that is happening there, except that God has said, you've turned against me, and therefore I'm just letting you go your own way.
We did a program, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, we did a program in December, and it was heavily Representative Michelle Bachmann talking about some of the very issues you're kind of summarizing there. Eric, you kind of took the lead on that program. The response was overwhelming, and I mean overwhelming in a very positive and a good way.
And I pray that the same will be with this program today, because the things being said today complement what we said there on the December 8th and 9th program we put together. Yeah. The OIC, every Christian needs to understand what is happening at the United Nations. I encourage every one of you with a computer to go and look up Resolution 1618, and you'll find a resolution that makes it a hate crime to speak ill against someone else's religion. Now, that flies directly in the face of our First Amendment. And yet we had officials in our U.S. government, as we talked about in that program in December, who helped to put that particular resolution together and then invited the Secretary General of the U.N. and OIC representatives to the White House in December of 2011. It's stunning. As Michelle Bachmann said, if we don't wake up, it is game over. And that was the word she used twice during the interview, and it's true. And, you know, it's coming at us in all kinds of ways. And we're talking about how it's happening in government. But look at the C-Scope curriculum in Texas. Who would have thought Texas would allow a curriculum in their schools that says Allah is the Almighty God? That's a direct quote. And then make it impossible for parents to be able to read the curriculum. And that's happening in 70% of the Texas schools. And I thank God the spotlight's been shown on that. And we could just cite instance after instance that's out there right now.
You know, the Muslims have basically taken over our textbooks. And, you know, the American Textbook Council says that in these textbooks, what's happened is Christianity is written up in the worst possible light, and Islam is the religion that liberates women, that brings peace, et cetera, et cetera. And there are parents who are probably listening to this program today who had better check to see what their kids are actually learning in school and what their textbooks say, because you're absolutely right. We have lost that battle. We've lost many battles. And so my heart is really in this book, Jan, as I mentioned at the top of the program today. It is my most important. It is my heart for the church, for the next generation, for my children and my grandchildren, because what I see coming down the pike in terms of our decision to submit to Islam, which is what our people do. And, you know, you mentioned, Jan, that you wanted to ask about appeasement. Many people naively believe that if we appease them on every level, then, of course, there won't be terrorism. What they don't understand is that such appeasement is actually seen as a sign of weakness. And so it only further instigates and motivates the Muslims, the radicals, the Islamists, to say America's even weaker than we thought she was. Mm-hmm. She is just rolling over and playing dead. The question we have to do is to go back to the church at Sardis, the words of Jesus to Sardis, strengthen what remains. I've not found your works complete in the sight of God. But then he says there are some in Sardis who have not soiled their garments. In other words, there's a remnant. And I guess, Jan and Eric, that's what I'm hoping for, is that in the church today, there will be a remnant who will say we are willing to pay the ultimate price.
You know, I'm just taking you down a little bit different path here, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, because you reference in this book, you reference Muslims coming to faith, perhaps by having a dream or a vision. And this has actually become controversial, and I sort of understand that. But you say, and by the way, I pat you on the back for saying, you suggest that we should not be so skeptical about this. And yet, I know of one pro-Israel author who speaks about this, and then he gets hammered for even suggesting that God could possibly work. And Erwin and Eric and myself as well, we are all conservative Christians. We are not really into dreams and visions. But you bring this out in your book, and I want you to talk about it for a second.
I'm glad to talk about it. You know, when the wise men came to visit Jesus, it's interesting that they followed the star, but the star did not take them to Bethlehem. Most people miss that. The star took them to Jerusalem, and then in Jerusalem they said, where is the Messiah to be born? And the scribes said, oh, Bethlehem of Judea, and they quote the book of Micah. And then they go, and then the star reappears. And I maintain that these dreams do not lead people to Jesus bypassing the gospel or bypassing the word of God. I interviewed a young Palestinian who had a vision like this. Jesus, in effect, just nailed him against his bed. He couldn't get up. And he said to Jesus, if you let me get out of bed, because he was just paralyzed, he said, I'll find out who you are. Within a day or two, he meets a Christian who gave him a Bible, and he began to read the Bible and was converted. So I don't think that God bypasses the message of the gospel. But if a dream sends you on a quest to find out who Jesus is, and then you meet someone who explains the gospel or somebody who gives you a Bible, that is just one way that God has to motivate people. So I don't believe in dreams and visions either as a general category, as if new revelation is being given. But it may be a means by which God leads people to seek Christ, and then someone explains the gospel to them.
Well, I appreciate that.
Jan, it's an attention getter.
Yes.
And that's mm-hmm. exactly how God is dealing with people in places and in a religious context that they're in. He's trying to get through to them, and if that's what it takes. Can I revisit something a little bit, Jan?
Yeah, go ahead.
When people hear us talk about this, I think I can speak for all of us. This is not about saving America per se. It's about saving our ability to preach the gospel and spread the word of God around the world. And that's why I believe we are here as a nation, and we've talked about this on the air, but that's what very much concerns me, and I think that's what I'm hearing Dr. Lutzer say as well.
I'd even take that a step further, Eric, and say that it's not only our ability to preach the gospel, but will we have enough courage to do it even when it's illegal? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, you know, throughout the history of the church, as you well know, the kind of freedom that we've had here in America is an anomaly. I mean, you know, during the Middle Ages, there was no religious freedom. You know, look at what happened during the Inquisition and so forth. And sometimes the righteous people were being killed. And then you have, even during Calvin's time, you have the famous Servetus affair, which oftentimes is misunderstood. But, you know, he was burned at the stake for denying the Trinity. So he was on the other side of the issue. But the point is that, you know, the early church never had freedom. Now, first of all, let me say, I desperately long for freedom. And you're absolutely right. What bothers me the most is the impact it would have around the world. And another thing that troubles me, if we have a financial collapse, you know, think of all of the ministries that we as Americans support overseas. There are orphanages and ministries all over the world. And if we quit that support, it would be devastating. And that's my concern. It's not to save my neck or to make life easier on this side. But we also have to ask, will we have the courage to continue to share the gospel when it becomes illegal?
Folks, if you join me late, again, I'm talking this particular hour with Dr. Erwin Lutzer from the Moody Church in Chicago. We're talking about his newest book, just out, We Carry It, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, an informed response to Islam's war with Christianity. And you can get it at my website. You can get it at any Christian bookstore. You can check out moodychurch.org. And better yet, check out olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, where we have a ton of products, but this is the newest, and we recommend it, highly recommend it. I'm going to stay in the kind of the genre that we're in right now, because I want to go back quickly to the Middle East. And Dr. Lutzer, the title of your book is The Crescent Cannot Destroy the Cross, and that's the theme anyway. And yet Christians in many Islamic nations, as I speak, are literally being wiped out in droves because of this so-called Arab Spring, which has morphed into a Christian nightmare. And so the Crescent won't have any permanent victory over the cross, but it's got some short-term victory as we speak because of some of the Christian communities, individuals and entire churches and villages being wiped out.
Exactly, and that's actually a chapter in my book, mm-hmm. that the Crescent cannot destroy the cross. Islam has always destroyed crosses. When they took over Christian lands, they used to destroy crosses and to burn Bibles. My Muslim guide, who is very devout in Istanbul, said that no Muslim can ever pray in the presence of the cross, and that's why they were all chipped out in Hagia Sophia. He took me there and showed me how they've been defaced and chiseled out. I make the point that Islam can destroy crosses. What they cannot do is to destroy the power of the cross, namely the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And for those who don't know it, this is another reason why Islam and Christianity have a huge divide between them, where there can be no possible synthesis, is that in Surah 4, the Quran denies that Jesus died. He was crucified, the Bible says that, but in the Quran it says that they crucified him not. They crucified someone else in his stead. And so at the very heart of our faith, the very event that makes Christianity so unique is that God was in the flesh, who came to redeem us. Those two things are denied, that God was in the flesh and that this God, as a man, was crucified. So the point to be made is that it is very important that we hold high the message of the cross and be willing to die for it. And yes, crosses can be destroyed, but thank God the cross and the blessed work of Jesus endures forever.
And Eric, you've got an article I have in front of me. Kids are being tried in Egypt for insulting Islam. That was on the Christian Post.
I wrote in my notes to you that that is the bottom line. That's where this is going. The things I sent you, for example, the $700,000 settlement with a Muslim who was disgruntled at McDonald's in Michigan. I mean, we have all these things coming at us, but the bottom line, the end result is the persecution of anyone who would dare stand against or breathe a word against Islam. Our free speech here is in jeopardy. And as I'm sitting here thinking about all this, I'm putting together a message about free speech and a couple of articles about that. And it really comes back to that. They want anyone to be quiet or to go away in whatever way we do it, if we say anything in a negative format. And I just applaud the courage of Dr. Lutzer and so many others who are out there who are willing to say what needs to be said. And the American public, in the church in general, the church in particular, needs to pick up this call and to be vocal about it. Right now is the time, not later. Now is the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, wherever there is fear, Eric, there's silence. I've also written a book, you know, about Nazi Germany. And the reason that Hitler was able to prevail is that all of his opposition became silent because of threats. And if we here in the West, because of what is happening abroad and in other places, if we become silent, either out of fear or a wrong sense of cultural and religious sensitivity, hiding behind that, well, then what can we expect for the next generation? Because you're absolutely right, to believe in Christ is an insult. Christ as God is an insult to Islam. And you know, Jan, you mentioned the Arab Spring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a prophet, but I think all of us who are listening knew that when it began there in Egypt,
yes,
it would not have a good outcome.
Absolutely.
Because the Brotherhood was waiting in the wings.
That's right.
for the tumult that would enable them to,
that is right,
to take over. And you know what happened in Egypt? I have this in my book. In Islam, there's a rule that you can't have a church within 100 yards of a mosque. So they wanted to get rid of a church that was built. So what they did is they proclaimed that a building next door, a house, was a mosque. And they got 3,000 people to come and pray at this house, declared it a mosque. Immediately, the church became illegal and had to shut down. So these are the kinds of experiences that our brothers and sisters around the world are enduring. And we'd better wake up, because many of them are being faithful. The question is whether or not we would be.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, I appreciate the work that you've done here. And you've got quite a lineup of testimonials here right on the inside of the front cover. And it's about 15 or so folks that are, even more than that, who are endorsing this in an incredible way, because we all of us participating in this today, well, we see the urgency of the hour, and I think a lot of listeners do too, Erwin. I really do. That's why the response we had back in December was a little bit overwhelming. I think if it's presented in a clear and concise way, I think sometimes we can get a little bit hung up on the various surahs and things like that, but when listeners start to hear how, let's just keep it in the context of America right now, is under such a threat, and it seems to be encouraged from the highest offices in America, the White House and the State Department. They become very, very alarmed.
Well, and of course, to be alarmed is perfectly fine.
Absolutely.
If we do something about it. And that's why at the end of my book, you know, I have a chapter entitled What the Church Should Be Doing Now, which lists programs regarding education, regarding helpfulness, regarding witness, regarding prayer. Because what we have to do is to prepare for the future and to realize that we have to depend upon the Lord in a brand new way and join brothers and sisters throughout the centuries who have been willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And also my book, as you know, at the end of each chapter, there's a conversion story.
It's because wonderful.
I want people to realize that God is saving Muslims today, and it's our privilege to build bridges to their community, to befriend them, and to show them the love of Christ.
The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, an informed response to Islam's war with Christianity. Erwin Lutzer, thank you for your faithful, dedicated work over the years, for just for being a friend to this ministry as well. Eric, thanks for sitting in with me today. We'll keep in touch, Dr. Lutzer.
All right. God bless both of you, and thanks for your listeners.
All right. Bye now.
Bye now.
Jan, I know it will sound like a book promo, but I believe every single person listening, if you have a friend or a loved one, someone that you believe doesn't understand Islam and what's happening, or maybe is asleep about the issue, maybe purposely asleep, they need to be given a copy of Dr. Lutzer's book.
For a conservative pastor, he's very outspoken here. He's very bold. He's very blunt. Even. He's certainly taking some critical shots at the current administration and issues such as appeasement. So it's quite incredible that a pastor such as this would speak out far more than any pastor I have ever heard speak about these issues.
Coming up is our special report with White House News correspondent Bill Koenig. Bill will be sharing some insights heard only here on Understanding the Times Radio.
They also, in a lot of ways, just hate God. I mean, they hate God. They do not like God. They do not like anybody that stands for their faith.
Stay tuned. Understanding the Times Radio, making a difference in keeping the church informed about the issues in our day.
I want to thank you for listening to Understanding the Times Radio, for praying and for supporting this outreach, and I want to welcome our new stations, now over 600 strong across America. If you're a new listener, won't you drop us an email or a note? All of you, be sure to tell us what station you're listening to. We look at news and views on this program that have eternal value. Why not call a few friends in your life and tell them to turn the dial and tune in each week. Olive Tree Ministries is not a weekly ministry. We operate 24/7 with our website, conferences, print newsletter, our store with dozens of products. To learn more, give us a call, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Stay tuned. We'll help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become watchmen on the wall. You can find us online at olivetreeviews.org.
Period of not knowing what's next. What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with Israel and the Middle East? What's going to happen with the White House and all the division and that we're watching right now taking place here in Washington? It's just a period of disruption. And when we're in a period of disruption, we really need to seek the Lord through prayer and to let Him help us get through these times. God has His people out there, and God also gave us the scriptures that would give us an understanding of the times that we're living in. And we are living in the most prophetic, significant times in history.
Bill Koenig has been a White House news correspondent since 2001, and his time at the White House has provided extraordinary behind-the-scenes experience and insight. Bill has been a familiar name to the Understanding the Times radio audience, and today he is the focus of our special report.
In our special report today, I'm going to be talking to White House correspondent Bill Koenig. You've heard him on this program for almost a decade now and probably gotten acquainted with him. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Great to be with you.
Say, you know, you and I got acquainted some 10 years ago when you spoke at one of my conferences, and I have a question for you about the media, because you've been in the media now for quite a while, and I think a lot of people are wondering, what makes the media so in love with liberal causes? And before the alternative media came along, the world only got a glimpse of what the left wanted to promote. Thankfully, now we have the internet and Fox News and organizations like yours and even mine. But can you give us some insight into this?
A couple things, Jan, that I have observed is, one, the liberal media is very secular, humanistic, which leads them to being really wrapped up into social justice. But when you look at social justice, basically social justice programs are treating the symptom and not the root, which is sin. And you certainly won't hear that being stated from liberal media, and you also don't hear that from a lot of the social justice churches. They do a great job of treating the symptoms, but they're not getting down to the root, which is sin. The second thing that I have observed, whether it's in Israel with the leftist media there or the leftist media in the United States, is they can't process danger. For example, in Israel, they are calling on the government to give up Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem to the Hamas-led Palestinians and also the Golan Heights to the Syrians for the sake of peace. So they believe if they just go ahead and give up this land, that all these problems they've had all these years and all these problems that are happening throughout the Middle East won't affect them. So that is a inability to process danger and evil and calling it what it is.
Well, that does not help for our dangerous and evil times. So we have a press corps that plays into it instead of helps to correct it.
Jen, yeah. I might add this too. They also, and you and I have talked about this before, they also, in a lot of ways, just hate God. I mean, they hate God. They do not like God. They do not like anybody that stands for their faith. Jesus is, in some ways, considered a bad word today. I mean, you could talk about the Quran, you could talk about Islam, you can talk about all these other things, but don't bring up Jesus. So also that might be a interior conviction within their being, but I don't know. That's another issue that's of extreme concern as well for us.
You said something to me the other day when we were talking, and I'm raising this because believers need encouragement. You said that we were talking about how serious things are getting in America and other places as well, and you said that God is maintaining believers in every respect. What did you mean by that?
Well, as we watch time unfold, and there are also a lot of Christians, evangelical, born-again Christians, that are still very dismayed by the November 2012 presidential election outcome. And it's permeated their very being, and it's really bothered them. I think it's bothered a lot of people, a lot of us. But I also try to encourage people by don't ever lose sight that God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. He has his people at the Pentagon, at the White House, on Capitol Hill, in radio, in media, in all walks of life. So none of this is a surprise, because God has his people out there, and God also gave us the scriptures that would give us an understanding of the times that we're living in. And we are living in the most prophetic, significant times in history. And I tell other people, do not be fearful. God is going to take care of you. Keep reaching out. Keep coming to him. Keep seeking him, and he will comfort you. And we also have to know that these times are, for Christians, this is an opportunity for us to share the gospel with family, friends, and whoever he puts next to us. Because trialsome times bring many people to Christ. And that's the silver lining in the times that we're living in, that many, many more people are going to come to know Christ and have salvation in Christ because of these times.
Bill Koenig has been one of my most frequent conference speakers over the last 12, 13 years. And you can learn a lot more at watch.org and also tap into his book, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And that statement of mine, Bill, takes me to another topic here, because my concern right now is that U.S. policy towards Israel is nosediving to a new level. And it's going to be more so than it's ever been in the history of Israel, history of U.S.-Israeli relations. I think it's going to be, in the near future, simply shocking. Your perception of all this?
Well, it surprised a lot of people that Barack Obama, right after his inauguration, decided to go to Israel on March 20th through the 22nd. Big shock. Europeans were shocked. As a matter of fact, they felt that the White House was getting ready to move away from the peace process and let them be the front men in this process. And then John Kerry was selected, and Kerry seems very desirous and committed to trying to work out a deal between the Israelis and Palestinians. Kerry's spoken very frankly about what the Palestinians must do in order to bring peace, and also was very straightforward about Israel, and even said that his grandmother was Jewish. So we're going to see a lot of effort out of the State Department. Hillary Clinton only went to Israel twice during her 4 years as Secretary of State. They let George Mitchell and others handle the process. But it looks like, because of Kerry's desire to bring this elusive peace deal to the table, that his interest, along with his conversations probably with Obama about him becoming involved, and also the fact that they're going to try to tie this Syrian conflict and the Iranian problems in with the Israeli-Palestinian peace cooperation, Jan. So they're all connected. Obviously, Syria and Iran are getting more and more serious, and I think that's another reason things have been pushed up.
We've been being told for months that the middle class would not see any kind of a tax increase in their paychecks, and then January came along, and lo and behold, surprise, surprise, everybody had more taxes taken out of their paychecks. And I was reading an article online here just seconds ago, actually, where even Walmart had their worst financial report ever in the month of February. They set an absolute new low for sales. And of course, Walmart is the store of choice for middle-class people, and even poor people prefer to shop at Walmart for obvious reasons. So we have constantly increasing taxes. We have gas prices now soaring again. Where do you see this going?
Well, and the higher gas prices, Janice, we remember from 2007 and especially 2008, it's going to affect food prices, which is going to affect a lot of families as well. So you have three things here. You've got the Social Security you mentioned, the highest fuel prices in February in history, and you also have food products that are continuing to increase in value. So what's going to happen is people are going to start buying just necessities and not so much desire. So that is going to have an effect on the economy, because the last quarter we had a negative growth. And if we have another quarter like that, then we're technically in a recession. And then right now Congress is trying to decide what to do with these automatic spending cuts that are supposed to kick in on March 1st. Obama said that maybe 700,000 or 800,000 additional people could lose their jobs, which would have a ripple down effect through the rest of the economy. So, you know, we're moving into a precarious period of time. You know, the government is beyond its means for many, many years, and that will have a psychological and a practical effect on the economy. And people are just going to be very cautious how they spend their money, and that's going to have an effect on the economy that's 65% based on consumer consumption.
Bill, you have said to me that this is a year of prayer. To me, every year is a year of prayer. So what makes this year particularly unusual?
Yeah, I think it's a period of not knowing what's next. What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with Israel and the Middle East? What's going to happen with the White House and all the division and that we're watching right now taking place here in Washington? It's just a period of disruption. And when we're in a period of disruption, we really need to seek the Lord through prayer and to let him help us get through these times.
Folks, I also want to recommend Bill's weekly newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. That's a weekly. There's a small charge to that. Check it out at watch.org. And again, the book is Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. Bill Koenig, once again, thanks for your always cutting-edge reports. And folks, as we exit the program, to mark your calendar for Saturday, October 5th, Understanding the Times 2013, and we'll have another conference in April 2014, but for now, save Saturday, October the 5th. One day, we gather at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, southwest suburb of Minneapolis, and with us will be Dr. Mark Hitchcock, WorldNet Daily's Joseph Farah, and Dr. Ron Rhodes. There's no cost, no registration. We'll hope to meet some new radio listeners at that time. May I encourage you to encourage? As we expose the darkness on the program, let's always remember that we're to be representatives of the light of Jesus Christ. And it says in Hebrews 10 that we're to encourage one another. Have you done that lately? Encourage 5 people this week, won't you? And we've talked about issues today that are troubling and unsettling, but God controls even these circumstances. Nothing surprises him. He's hoping the tough times will cause you to sharpen one another, just as it says in the Bible, iron sharpens iron. And always look up and expect him. Heaven is the ultimate good news. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
This program may be new to this radio station, and you may be a new listener to Understanding the Times Radio. So we would like to get better acquainted by offering you a free gift. If you are not already in our database, we would like to send to you a choice of the DVD of Dr. Mark Hitchcock's America in Prophecy or Dr. Erwin Lutzer's message on heaven. Just call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org.
Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name.
Remember, every program of Understanding the Times Radio can be either podcast to your smartphone or your computer for free. Our website can give you all the information you need to make listening to this program easier, even when you're on the go. Our web address is olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. On the website, you can find out more about Jan Markell and the mission of this program. You can even sign up for the daily news headlines that can be sent to your computer every day that will keep you informed about our world from a biblical viewpoint. Also, please remember us in prayer as we reach out to over 650 radio markets every week with this timely information. We are listener-supported, so please consider adding us to your charitable giving. Every gift is tax-deductible and helps us continue to come into your area with the inconvenient truth. Thank you. Jan will be back next week at this same time.